Thank you. I love the Om Shanti. I could just stand up here and sing Om Shanti for the next 20 minutes, and that would probably do about what I'm getting ready to do, just in a different language, but it's all that divine flow. But since I've got notes, I'll go ahead and do that part. So this is my 20th anniversary, and so what I've been doing this year is going back and looking in this huge deep file cabinet over all these different series and talks and all I've given over the years. And I had picked out two to choose from this month. And I got very clearly, not it. I said, but I need to give it to Beverly today. Not it. Okay, what is it? What immediately came was go get this book back out. The Seven Whispers, Listening to the Voice of Spirit by Christina Baldwin, who actually lives over on Whidbey Island. I first encountered Christina Baldwin with her book about journaling, different ways to journal. She has a wonderful book on journaling. And then just before I moved up here, I came across her book, Calling the Circle. And it's how to organize groups and lead groups from more of a feminine leadership perspective than the classic hierarchical perspective. And so when I came here, I said, calling the circle is what I want us to do. I want to sit in circle with you and not be the dictatorial, this is what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And so Christina Baldwin was the one that brought that, and I just love that, and we're still doing it. It's in our board manuals, as a matter of fact. And then I came across this book, The Seven Whispers, and the series that I did was back in 2004. Isn't that hard to believe? 2004? And that year, what I did was I did a little book. It was a treasury of spiritual books. And so I did each month a different book that were these little ones from my bookshelves that are the ones that when you're not in the mood to do A Course in Miracles or some big thick book, you could just go. Aren't these sweet and wonderful? There are so many, and this is one of my favorites. And working with it to prepare for today, it reminded me anew how much I love this little book. In fact, it's going to be my companion for the next few weeks that I'm going to keep right next to my bed. I'm going to keep it on my desk because it's really wonderful. So if you've never read it, they're still available. And The Seven Whispers by Christina Baldwin. And so I'm going to start with something that I love that's kind of her call to those of us who are living in these times of tremendous change, tremendous opportunities to grow and to expand in consciousness. I believe, like Barbara Marx Hubbard, that we're living in a time where we're going from Homo sapiens to Homo universalis, where we're going from just being concerned with survival and the physical plane to recognizing the spiritual aspects of everything and out of which everything emerges and to which everything returns. She says, among humankinds are millions and billions of good-hearted, good-natured, well-meaning people. I believe these people, including you and me, can redirect the course of history. We have already started. We have. Millions of us are willing to reappraise social and personal values and even change core beliefs based on new and increasing information and insight about the world. Millions of us contribute to the common good through billions of small and yet significant acts of kindness and compassion. And millions of us are looking for some connection to spirit so real, so unmistakably authentic, that it will release our capacity to make an enormous shift in how we treat each other and the world. I get goosebumps. Homo universalis. We're getting to live in a time of this tremendous shift and awareness. So she comes up with 7 spiritual whispers that are common sense, easy to apply, and that can be mantras that you use. As we come to the end of the series, I'm going to do a handout for you. I promise, everybody loves those, that will give these 7 mantras with a spiritual practice and maybe a little quote to go with each one. So you'll have a master cheat sheet. But here are the 7. Maintain peace of mind. 2, move at the pace of guidance. 3, practice certainty of purpose. 4, surrender to surprise. 5, ask for what you need and offer what you can. 6, love the folks in front of you. And 7, return to the world. I love this. She said, it doesn't require any physical training or stamina. You don't have to travel to exotic places or holy site. You don't have to go to the right workshop. You don't have to do anything, but just use these little short mantras to help you connect to spirit. And then, as we finish the series, the very end of the book, The Covenant Made with the Angel is not about leading an ordinary or extraordinary life in any terms I have understood, but about leading whatever life we have with extraordinary attention to God's call and our response. Our call and God's response. Call and response. And I love that idea of call and response, because it's interactive, it is universal, it's recognizing you truly live and breathe and have your presence with the divine. So today we're going to be looking at maintaining peace of mind and moving to the pace of guidance. Good places to start. Maintaining peace of mind is probably one of the greatest challenges we face. I continue to face it. Yesterday, to maintain and reestablish and settle into peace of mind, I stayed in my pajamas and curled up under the covers for a bunch of the day. I needed to just be still and quiet and replenish. After everything that's been going on over the last month, not to mention having led a congregation hopefully well through the pandemic, that we're still reintegrating. And so we experience this huge shift in our world that we were so blessed to walk through together. And now we can choose to revision our lives, and I think we're still all in the process of doing that. That call and response, that desire to have a connection with God not far away, but imminent in our hearts. She says in the book, she says, it's having God in the chambers of your heart, having tea. Isn't that wonderful? The presence of the divine in your heart, having tea, whispering. And this is your higher self, your soul. It is she or he or they who listens, asks, prays, volunteers for service, and challenges. And at the heart of that connection, That place of having tea with the divine. I love that image. It's so cozy. Years ago, I was taking a workshop on how to overcome the critic if you're writing or you're speaking or you're doing things. My growth edge in this lifetime has been dealing with perfectionism. And so I went there and she said, one of the things you can do is, she said, you can tell your critic you serve a purpose. It does. That critical voice serves a purpose. But if it's activated at the wrong time, it will slow you down and not help. To everything, there is a season. And so if I'm trying to write and the critic is there, it's like I just get stuck. But if I finish and I let the flow come, then I can say, come be with me and let's make this even better. So instead of this authoritarian voice, it becomes someone sitting in circle as part of the process. And the image that came where it finally grokked for me was sitting down and having tea with my critic. And the critic changed from this authoritarian voice to this wonderful little old lady that was just cozy and loving. And she said, I'm your critic. And I was like, oh my God, I like you. And she said, well, good. I'm here to help. And so we've got these different parts of us. That it's about listening to the different voices that come to meet us on the journey of life, that inspire us. But the key one is that one that lies at the core of your being. If you're doing things in response to what other people want and are demanding, it will just take you way out of peace really quickly. There's a wonderful saying I learned at Unity Village that's one of the kindest things you can give another person, and David kind of spoke of this morning, is safe passage through your mind. One of the kindest things you can give yourself is safe passage through your mind. Allowing yourself to be really present and yet at the same time, to have a sense of peace. I've always loved the phrase, peace that passes all understanding. We don't have to figure it out. We can welcome it. In our Chapel of Light, we have the saying that David brought back from Unity and that Rhonda did a beautiful poster of, peace be still. And there's a comma. There. David was the one that first reminded me about the comma years ago, the Masonic Hall. So peace, be still. Not peace, be still. Peace, be still. I've told you the story of before I was going to Unity Village, I had met Lane 6 months before I was leaving Dallas. I was leaving a career, job offers, on the outer success, money, all kinds of things, using the gifts that I've got. But I knew in my heart of hearts, this little voice was saying, you're supposed to go to Unity Village. And then you're supposed to be a minister. What? You're supposed to be a minister. And so the night before I left, everything was packed in boxes. Knowing me, they were all similar sizes and well-labeled. And Lane came over, and we got ready to take off. And I knew that we had this deep love soul connection, and we were like, how are we going to do this? And the night before, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning with, what in the world do you think you're doing? Every critic, every fear, everything played in. What makes you think you could ever do this? You're leaving everything you know, even the favorite apartment you've ever had. You've just packed it up and you're leaving it. You're leaving your beloved. And I remember just the mantra from the Peace Chapel, and it started with peace, be still, 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 peace, be still. And then I was like, I heard this little voice that just said, breathe. Oh yeah, I need to breathe. And so I began to slow it down, and within about 10 minutes, it was peace, be still. And I finally drifted back off to sleep. And when I had to leave the next day, that still small voice and that deep sense of peace in the midst of this huge change was what enabled me to turn on the engine of the car and drive. And my mother and I stopped after we got across the border into Oklahoma. And he had given me a bracelet that had been his Nana's. And she said, well, have you been crying all the way? And I said, yes. And she said, I figured you were. And she looked at me and she said, don't worry. She said, neither of you know it right now, but that's your engagement bracelet. I still have that bracelet. So in the midst of this, my mother got to be a channel of that still small voice. We find it within, but when people talk to us with love, we can hear it in outer voices as well. And what a gift that is. One of the techniques that she mentions in this book that I've come across before comes from Thich Nhat Hanh, the wonderful, amazing Buddhist who's written so many books. And he talks about how living with the divine presence is that call and response. All of the famous people in the Bible, from Moses to Jesus to Muhammad, were living seemingly ordinary lives, and then they got called, and they chose to respond. Those calls come to everyone. And he said, so how do you listen, and how do you create a central place of peace so that when that small voice comes, you hear it? And he says, conscious breathing is one of the best ways to do it. Conscious breathing. And he says, inhalation leads to inspiration. I love that. Breathing in new air brings new possibilities. And the breath of God is a spiritu. And so the three breaths are the ones that he encourages us to do. The first breath is to let go. Take a minute, just breathe and let go something that's heavy for you right now. Now take another breath and simply be here. And now the third breath, simply ask, now what? Open to receive that next peace. She has a wonderful line in the book, please God, keep me in my soul's counsel. This breathing technique helps me do that. Letting go of whatever is going on in the outer, being here in spiritual presence and awareness. And then, now what? So when I step back out, I've got some new insight, some new comfort, some new peace. So, peace be still, you've settled in. She recommends that you take a few minutes every day to begin the day with this presence of the divine and to make yourself available. Three breaths. I think we can all find time for that. Three breaths consciously to start your day. And then once you've done that, and you have a sense of peace, then you can move to the pace of guidance. What you get from that still voice, what your higher self and your soul guide you to do. Life is about being fully present, not allowing ourselves to become doing machines. Being present, truly being present. And she says, in a world of speed and distraction, the pace of guidance invites us to combine practices of measured movement and listening. Speed is some guy running through the airport shouting into a cell phone. We've all seen that. Pace is going around the block with a three-year-old and noticing everything the child is noticing. How have you been moving through your life? Running with a cell phone in your hand, or slowing down and moving at the pace of a three-year-old for whom the whole world is an adventure? That's when you notice the little wonders all along the way. Years ago, they had that book, Stop and Smell the Roses. And how true it is, we run past so much that we don't notice the signs and the reminders and the support and the wonder all along the way. When we move at pace, we have time to question and time to listen for answers before we move on. When we move at the pace of guidance, it occurs to us to wonder what plans the divine might have for us in the midst of the plans we thought we had for ourselves. It opens things up to new possibilities. And I love that there's speed and there's pace, P-A-C-E, which in Italian is pace, which means peace. And years ago, I was blessed to lead a retreat in Assisi and then do a peace walk to Rome, where we joined with an international day of peace in Rome, at the Vatican and in the gardens outside. And all around us were banners, rainbow banners with pace, 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 peace. So when you're moving at the pace of guidance, you're moving more in peace. You're choosing to respond rather than to react, which is a wonderful thing. It rehumanizes the speed of your life, and it lets you be still and listen. It comes in that inner voice. And people frequently ask me, how do you know if that voice is my ego or is it spirit? What is it? Sometimes it's super clear, sometimes it's not. But the one thing I can promise you, the voice of ego will have a lot of chatter, a lot of rationalization, a lot of nervous energy around it. The voice of spirit is usually very succinct and quiet and peaceful. It has a different feel to it. If what's coming back is all those thoughts going on the squirrel cage, that's not the voice of spirit. That's you still trying to figure out the pace of your life rather than listening and letting the pace come within you. And it comes through our imaginings, through our prayers, our meditations. Joan of Arc was asked, how do you know? How could God possibly talk to you? And he says, how else could God speak to me but through my imaginings? How else can the divine speak to us but through that inner language that transcends time and space? She says that when you do this, you can replace everything going on out here with joy, with confidence, with faith, and with love. And your difficulties, your challenges, your getting off center become gifts for you to redefine how you're seeking your connection with the divine. I love that. The challenges to this, to peace, to pace, comes as a gift that helps us remember how to seek and move through life. She gives us a wonderful story in the book that's about a runaway horse. Hasn't your life sometimes felt like a runaway horse? She was riding, and she'd just taken lessons, and so she was finally going to do a little ride on her own, and she was going through a field, and then suddenly the horse got spooked and took off. And she couldn't stop it. And the more upset she got, the faster the horse went. Of course, those energies build. And she goes past her dad, who's working on a fence post, and he looks up and smiles at her as she goes running past. And she said, "I was holding on and I wanted to yell to him, 'I'm not smiling. I don't like this. How do you stop this thing? How do you stop this thing?'" How do we stop our own minds and bodies when we go too fast? There's always a choice. She said she realized, first of all, she had to calm herself. And then as she calmed, the horse calmed. And then the very foundation, the surface they were running on, went from fields to gravel, and he started trotting. And then there was a highway right in front of him. And she said, "I still can't stop this thing." And she just centered and said a prayer. Haven't we been there where that highway's right there? And then the horse hit the pavement and immediately stopped, almost threw her off, and shifted from that gallop to a wild trot to a prance on the concrete. And then she went back and told her dad. He said, "Oh, that horse was part of a Shriners group and would go in parades, and that was the parade march." And the minute his hooves hit the concrete, the pavement, it's like, "Oh, parade!" We can do that too. When we connect with the divine, we can do that presence. It's like we're on solid ground. And instead of running amok, we're suddenly there, clear, and celebrating. Because being part of a parade, I've learned in Port Townsend, is always part of a celebration. So she says, how do you do this? We've got the breathing technique for getting that center of peace. So now, how do we move at the pace of guidance? She says you need to sit in the silence for at least 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the evening. So I've given you three breathing things, which doesn't take long, and now just 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes in the evening. You can do it as you're waking up, as you're falling asleep. You can do it before or after coffee, before or after an evening glass of wine. But gift yourself with that breathing space where you can connect. And then she says, while you're in that space, before you leave, ask, what do you want me to do? What? And the pace, the peace. What do you want me to do, number one? And then there's a second question that I love that helps us listen to guidance and move at the right pace, which is not just what do you want me to do, but how do I need to change in order to do that? How do I need to change in order to move at the pace of guidance? And I love that because it's that gift of seeking. It's an openness. It's a willingness to be present and to have that invisible presence of spirit become interactive, a communion with the divine, so that we can walk individually and collectively through the mystery together. time. Oh, and so we walked through that mystery. So maintain peace of mind and move to the pace of guidance. Those are your two pieces this week. And then next week, we'll get to do some more. Isn't this a wonderful book? It's so practical and so, the analogy of the horse I immediately got. I rode horses years ago, but you don't even have to ride a horse to know how that feels. So let's settle in for a moment. Let's do our conscious breathing one more time with our three breaths. One to let go. One to be consciously and purposefully here. And one to ask, now what? And let your now what be not only, what do you want me to do, but also, how do I need to change in order to do it? Oh, we give thanks that we can choose to keep ourselves in soul's counsel each and every day. May we be of service to whatever goodness is trying to happen in the world in these terrible and wonderful times. May we remember always that when we move to the pace of guidance, and when we move at pace, at peace, the divine presence can meet us in each and every moment. And the inner voice of spirit and of our own soul can speak truth and comfort, wisdom and hope, love and grace, and always peace. And for this we are profoundly grateful. Om, amen, and blessed be.